chapter number 9, verses 1 through 5. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings, in other words, just mad, breathing out threatenings, and everybody said slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He wanted them brought to Jerusalem, and he wanted them slaughtered. He went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, if there were any Christians there at all, whether they were men or women, it didn't matter to him, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem, because he wanted them slaughtered. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And then suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? In other words, I may not know your name, but I know you've got to be God. And then the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In other words, it's hard for you to rebel against me now that you know who I am. I want you to know who I am, Paul, because I know who you are. I want you to know more about me, Paul, because there's more that I can do with you. You're better than this, and I want to show it to you. And so, very basic, very simple, came to me this morning, but I want to preach it. And it's simply entitled Transformed. Transformed. Praise God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's help. Jesus, we love you, lift you. We thank you and we praise you. We honor the name of the Lord here today, and we worship you, Jesus, with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And we so thank you for what you have done for us and what you have done to us and through us. We ask you, Lord, to continue to move mightily, powerfully, wonderfully, even in this service today, Lord. Let lives be touched in a great, wonderful, and a mighty way. And everybody said amen. Shake somebody's hand as you're seated. Praise God. Transformed. Paul was transformed after he was tormented. Amen. Now, God speaks to us very, very softly when things are all right. But he can really speak loud when things aren't going so good. And so this is the particular time that he chose to speak to Paul. Amen. And so, he was completely transformed from what he used to be to what he needed to be after the torment. Amen. I remember the story of Joseph, how that, you know, he went through the coat of many colors and all of that that his dad made for him, and how that Joseph was the son of the wife that his dad truly loved. And he was the only survivor because Benjamin died. And Joseph was very special to his dad because his dad loved Rachel so much. And then the brothers deceived him. Some of the brothers wanted to kill their own brother, Joseph. Another one stepped up, and I believe it was Reuben, if I'm not mistaken, and he said, no, let's not kill him, but throw him in a pit, and let's take the coat, kill a lamb, throw blood all over it until dad's and a wild animal got him. And so they did that. He was sold to slaves, wound up in Egypt, wound up in prison, wound up interpreting dreams, and told the guys when they got out of prison, don't forget me, you know, tell Pharaoh about. Well, they forgot him. They didn't tell Pharaoh about it. And he's in prison. And all of this, amen, And it was in Joseph's torment that God began to work and to make something begin to unfold and begin to make something happen. Long story short, becomes second man in command in all of Egypt, a Jew. And God did that for him. Why? So that God could rescue the rest of his people. Amen. But the ripping away, you see, Joseph was a dummy at one time in his life. I mean, you don't have a dream of all your bigger brothers bowing down to you and then go to them the next morning and tell them. So he was a little bit of a crackerhead. And so that's how he wound up in the situation that he was in. And then, but all of that, and the Lord saw all of this coming. He saw all of this unfolding. And in all of this, Joseph just kept plodding along and kept enduring hardness as a good soldier. And through all of the torment, through all of the struggle, and ripping the old Joseph out and casting away and becoming a new man, God gave him great things and allowed him to be used in great ways. Are you following me? Somebody shout transform. So Joseph was transformed. And then Samson. I don't want to go into detail about Samson because we get kind of salty around here today. But we do know at the end of his life, Samson truly got his sight back. He may have been blind, but before he died, he saw some things. Amen. Praise God. And so Samson was finally transformed, and he asked mercy, and he asked the Lord that if he would just give him his strength one more time. And Samson destroyed more of his enemy that day than he did his whole life. Praise God. I'll never forget the story of Samson catching 300 foxes, tying them together and catching their tails on fire. I heard one preacher preach one time. He said, we need to get our tails on fire. I'm not going to preach that because that sounds kind of iffy. But he did. And, you know, and so we won't go there. But listen, fire played a big part in Samson's life. Amen. And so I'm just saying, at the end of his life, he saw more as a blind man than he saw all of the other parts of his life with his eyes open. There is no doubt in my mind here today that the Holy Ghost is taking people places. But if you think for one moment that you can drag the old man with you as you go on this journey with God, then you've got another thing coming. And if you think for one moment that you can give up what you've gotten from God and go back to the old man and take his hand and take him with you on the journey the rest of the way, you've got another thing coming. Because all of your life God has spent, if there's been torment, it's been because of the ripping. If there's been trouble, trial, and tribulation, it's because of the ripping. It's because of the tearing. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the Holy Ghost ripping things out of you that don't need to be there. Things that the Lord wants to reprimand. Things that the Lord wants to put in a watery grave. Things that the Lord wants to rebuke and take out of you. So that by the time you get where you're supposed to be, you can't even hardly tell who you are anymore. You've been so changed by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody shout transform. Now I'm going to ask you, is there anybody here today that really wants to change? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to look the part. I want to act the part. Amen. But I don't want to be an actor. I want to be a genuine, bona fide child of God. And I want to please the Lamb of God. Amen. I don't want to be one thing one minute, another thing another. Amen. And so I'm in a battle. You're in a battle. And I'm asking God to transform me and change me, rearrange me. Amen. I'm not everything I need to be. You're not everything you need to be. But I'm asking you in Jesus' name not to sit down, shut up, and give up. Amen. But to stand up and let the Lord do some great things in your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care about what you're going through. I don't care about what you're facing. Amen. Hallelujah. I will have pity. I'll weep with you. But we cannot sleep. We cannot stop. We cannot sit down because we need to move forward. We live in the greatest day that we've ever lived in before. And we cannot allow the old man to sit us back. And to sit us down and to shut us up. Praise God. I want to see more at the end than I saw at the beginning. And no matter what God has to do to me, if I've got to be blind to see, so be it. Praise the Lord. The Bible's already told me many times, if I have to go into the kingdom of God maimed, it's better to make it to the kingdom of God than to go to hell healthy. Amen. And I know it talked about portions of the body like the eyes and the hands and all of that. Amen. But there's some inner things that we can cut. There's some inner things that we can sacrifice. There's some prideful things. There's some mindsets. Hello. Amen. Some of you aren't following me, but the ones that are, stay with me right now. I'm just telling you, I know deep is crying unto deep today. Amen. Some are going to walk out saying, what was he talking? And others are going to say, I'm changed. I'm rearranged. I've got my mind made up. My foot is on the rock. I'm moving forward, and I will accomplish something for the glory of God. I'm not backing up. I'm not shutting up. I'm not sitting down, and I'm not just standing around, but I'm calling on the name of Jesus, and I want change. I want to be rearranged. I want movement for the future. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. No one is exempt. We could go through Bible character after Bible character, but I like to do things in three. Amen. So let's talk about Abraham. Abraham's moving along. He's obeyed God. He's stepped out by faith. He's left his family. Now he's getting old. His wife is too old to have children. And God has given him a promise that he's going to be the father of many nations. So now what are you going to do, Abraham? I don't know. I'm just going to keep walking. I don't know of any greater advice than that. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You just keep walking. Amen. You don't pout and sit it out. Amen. You just keep walking. Praise God. And that's what Abraham did. And so what does God do for that? He only sends him angels. And the angels standing around the campfire eating with Abraham told him that you're still going to be the father of many. And Abraham's wife starts laughing in the tent. Well, they heard her. They said, you laughed. She said, no, I didn't. They said, yes, you did. She said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. And she knows it. And she still has it. Her life was so changed to the point that there was a king when they passed through that loved her looks and wanted to marry her. That's how much she was changed. And she had that child. And that child ultimately became the father of many nations. That was Abraham obeying God while he was in torment. That's not Abraham backing up and saying, I'm going back to my family. This is not turning out anyway like I thought it was. This is not the disciples going fishing because Jesus was crucified. When they wanted him to be set up like a great king and let the world finally, let the Christians finally get their vengeance. And the Lord tried to tell them it's not going to work that way. Amen. Somebody look on the inside and say, I'm not going back. Praise God. Somebody say transform. Why all the torment, Pastor? What is that all about? Amen. Some people say, I never had so much trouble until I started living for God. Well, the bottom line is, with all of that, is that you just begin to notice your trouble. You lived in it before and didn't even realize it. That's why people aren't born again. They live in trouble and don't know it. But when you're able to see trouble, then it becomes a bigger situation to you. But the bottom line ultimately is the old has to be ripped apart. and it's got to be ripped out. And that is some of the most uncomfortable that you will ever live through. Jesus is the answer. One songwriter said, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there is no other. Why? Because Jesus is the way. If you believe that, would you lift your hands and praise him with me right now? Could you worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen. Amen. Why don't you just go ahead while your hands are submitted to the Lord and you're in a position of surrender. Why don't you go ahead and say, Lord, you've brought me so far. Don't let me give up now. You've done so much for me and with me. Don't let me give up now. But Master, let me move forward and let me advance in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I remember the toy. I bought some of them for my boys. I'm sure my wife did. They were called Transformers. How many of you remember those puppies? I think they're trying to have revival right now. But they were Transformers. Robots in disguise. Yeah, you remember that. And you look at them, and they're all normal on the outside. But for the most part, all you got to do is press a button and whammo, you got something that you just didn't know was there. And it's Transformers. So they were normal outside, but on the inside, they were robots. The change outside didn't go deep enough to transform the inside. So they looked, indeed, they looked different outside. But all you had to do was press a button. And then you got something different that came from the inside. I'm just here to remind us today, myself included, and that is the fact that it's not Jesus on the outside working on the inside. We need to let it be Jesus on the inside working on the outside. Some of us want to be quick to judge and let people know what they should wear and what they shouldn't wear. Hey, you let holiness take care of that. Let the Holy Ghost take care of that. And let Pastor take care of that. But why don't you help somebody with the inside, with their struggles? Why don't you help somebody with their addiction? Why don't you help somebody with their affliction? Why don't you help somebody in their sickness and in their disease? And then ultimately, that's going to make its way outside. And it's going to shine like new money. And everybody's going to see what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to be a transformer, Brother Brown. I don't want to be some apostolic looking outfit on the outside. Amen. But just as soon as hard times come, transform into something that's pitiful, something that's mopped up, something that's knocked down, something that's obliterated and a mess. Hallelujah. Amen. When you press my button, I want you to see something greater than you see on the outside, something stronger than you see on the outside, something that loves Jesus greater than the outside, because it's the inside that's going to see the kingdom of God. It's not the outside. Amen. I'm not giving you a reason to backslide and to go back looking like something of the world. Amen. I'm giving you a reason to enforce the inside so the Lord can transform our minds, our spirits, our hearts, our souls, and ultimately all of our lives. Amen. Some of us, and when I say some, I'm talking about people in general. It may not be anybody in here. Amen. But there are people that think so lowly of themselves. Amen. They make their family miserable. They make their friends miserable. They make everybody around them miserable. Why don't you go to the Word of God and read where the Lord can transform you and rebuild you and remake you, that He can give you a positive spirit and a positive attitude. That same attitude that's ripping everything apart, that same attitude that's tearing everything down, can change into an attitude that can build it up greater than it's ever been. Make it Make it greater than it's ever been. Hallelujah. Leave a testimony of what God has done. I want this world to see the Lord's footprints in our homes. I want him to see the Lord's footprints in our church. I want him to see the Lord's footprints on our jobs, in our prayer stations, everywhere we go. Hallelujah. Amen. So you be you and let God change you. You pray for others and let God change them. Ultimately, it's going to come together in the end and make something that's going to blow your ever-loving mind. But we cannot give up. We cannot see the picture as it is. We must be transformed. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In other words, press the button. Let the Lord put us through a little stretching. Let the Lord put us through a little torment and a little struggle and a little ripping. Amen. And let's see what pops out. Because what we truly are is in here. Amen. I don't know of a person that doesn't have trouble with that. I know I do. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and say I know you do too. Why? Because we're human. But that is no reason and that is no excuse to say to stay the same way that we have always been when we have a God that can change that instantly. Look at Romans 6:6. Praise God. And let's find out what we need to do with that old man that wants to tag along in our new adventure. Amen. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? Does it make good sense? Let's look at Luke 5:36. Are we okay? Praise the Lord. Luke 5:36. And he spake also a parable unto them. And he said, no man puts a piece of new garment upon the old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent. In other words, the new is going to make a tear on the old because it's much stronger. And the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. I'll never, ever forget. I don't remember how I wound up there. I don't know if it was a missions trip or what it was, but just on the other side of the line from Brownsville, Texas, is old Mexico. And as soon as you get across the bridge, you start walking through and seeing little outside shop things and little sheds, really, is what they are. And they sell stuff in there. And this dress popped out. And I thought, oh, man, my wife will love that. So I bickered with him and thought I got a good price. And I bought it and I took it home. She put it on and I don't want to give you this picture or anything, but it fell off. It was so dry rotted that when she said, I like it. And it said, it was so dry rotted. Amen. And so I guess the bottom line is simply, you know, let's go on with the new. And as we go on with the new, let's not drag the old with us. Amen. Let's get rid of the old man so that we can completely be transformed. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. And so we crucify the old man. We don't disguise it. We don't want to just disguise it. Well, all my friends are apostolic, so I'm going to be apostolic. And you put it on and you walk it and you learn how to talk it. But then at any given moment, at any given time, there's the old man with his thought process, with all this negative and why we can't. I think you know what I'm talking about. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? Is that another word for transformed? Old things are what? Somebody say they're dead. Behold, all things are become new. It's a new adventure every day. Praise God. It's a new adventure every day. We had a meeting yesterday at Landmark that many of you are probably not aware of, but we have a CIAD program in North Carolina. That's called Church in a Day. And so we met with the Home Missions Department, and that's NAM, North American Missions. And with Brother Morris yesterday, we met in the fellowship hall. We had general contractors there from all over the state, apostolics, that want to join in and help with Church in a Day. We're getting ready in September to build a Church in a Day in Richlands, North Carolina, where the Drakes pastor. And so we were in a meeting yesterday to put all of that together. And I wouldn't dare say who. Amen. But we did this before, and we built a church in a day. I thought it was a major miracle for North Carolina. It's the first time we had done it, I believe. And maybe not, but it was the first time I had done it. I was Sunday school director for the state, and for our great award for everybody across the state giving to SOC, Sunday School Save Our Children, the award was we were going to build a church in a day for a home missionary. And we did it. Amen. Brother Brown, we had $80,000 in the district account for SOC, and so we took a large portion of that, and we built a church in a day. Well, it took more than a day, but hey, that's no big deal. We were able to give them the money. They built the church and went into it debt-free. Yesterday in a meeting, one of the men spoke up and said, oh yeah, I remember that church in a day. It became a church that I forget how he said it because I don't think that way, but they said, yeah, it was a church that took forever. That's all I heard about it from him. Amen. And so, okay, all right. Let's not talk about how it was given to them. Let's not talk about how it didn't take forever, and it is built, and there's a church there today because of that. Let's not talk about how in the future, amen, we had several people there from Landmark. Brother Rick Wagner wants to get involved in it because he's a general contractor. And after the meeting, I said, Rick, what do you think? He said, I think North Carolina can get to the place that we could build two churches a year. Well, we got the other guy sitting back and said, yeah, that was the church that took forever. Wonder where he's going to be in when we're building two churches a year. Do you see what I'm saying? Amen. Listen, forget what happened. Forget how long it took. And remember what took place. And help us to figure out here today how we can make it better. How we can take this thing and press the accelerator. How we can bring revival to it. How we can grow. How we can expand it. How we can make it. Hallelujah. Not going among one another and trying to cut it and put so doubt in our... Hey, let's stand together and lock hands and hearts and believe God for revival, for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and for my life to be changed in the process, and for all of us to be made better for the glory of God. Hey, don't that sound exciting? Don't that bring joy? Don't that bring the anointing? Isn't that what the Lord is all about? Making something that's bad and turning into something good. Well, hallelujah. That's why we've got to be born again. Wow. Hallelujah. It's too late to go back, Landmark. It's too late to think about past sorrow, past failure. It's too late to think about how we were raised and our upbringing and using that not to be able to advance. It's too late to use our present circumstances against what we can do in the future. Hallelujah. I'm against that in Jesus' name. There's nobody that went through anything in life any harder than our Savior did, but He never let it slow Him down. I can talk about a lot of figureheads, but I'm here to tell you that we are going to be better people because of what we've gone through in the past. Amen. It's too late to go back. When you go back and break bring all of that, it causes confusion. It causes confusion to the family, friends, to your future. Hallelujah. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, hey, buddy, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, or you're not going to see the kingdom of God. What are you saying, Jesus? I'm saying you cannot be what you are right now and make it. And you can't, I'm telling you, you can't go back and make it. All Nicodemus saw was the flesh and the outside. When Jesus said born again, all he could see was a baby in the flesh being born from its mother in the flesh. He couldn't even begin to fathom what the Lord was talking about. But we can, because we're the ones that are born of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, I don't care how long you've been in the church, if you need to be born again, today's the day to be born again. Today's the day to wash it. Today is the day to transform your mind, to transform your heart, to transform your spirit, and to become that which the Lord has intended you to be. Praise God. And so that's all Nicodemus saw. Jesus was speaking of the inside. I'm not talking about being a baby. I'm not talking about your mother. I'm talking about the spirit, the mind, the soul. Amen. It's not Jesus again. It's not Jesus outside working his way in. Because when we start on the outside to work our way in, sadly, we don't usually make the trip. We get a certain depth, and that's about as far as we go. So let's let it start on the inside and work its way out. Praise God. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Adversity lets us see who we really are. Amen. Jesus Calvary gives us the opportunity to change all of that. And today I'm asking somebody to bury the old man. Renew and transform the inside, the mind, the spirit. That's where the battlefield really is. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. And so the opportunity is given. One of the strongest strongholds against a child of God from transforming is pride. I'm the one that prays with everybody else when they... So? Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, unstopped blind, deaf ears, and opened blinded eyes. I remember a story after all of that, seeing when talking about his face buried on a rock, praying so hard his sweat was like great drops of blood. I'm the one that raised the dead. I'm the one that... And he was saying, so what? There just comes that time that you got to face yourself and decide what you're going to do for the future. So if I can just say, if we won't let pride stop us, if we won't let the fact that we're dragging the old man along with us stop us, if we won't let the attitude stop us, I wonder if we could come and let Jesus press the button so that we're not robots in the enemy's hands in disguise. But I wonder if we could come today and just submit, surrender, dedicate, and relegate. Some are going to move an inch. Some will move a mile. Some will bury everything. Some will bury some things. But nonetheless, whoever comes to this altar today is going to advance in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you right now, whoever comes to this altar today is going to advance in the kingdom of God. Because you're going to begin transforming.
Make me more like you.
You're going to begin a remolding, a reshaping, a renewing, and a refreshing, a restarting.
The broken pieces.
I'd like to ask our altar workers if you'd help us right now. Pray with those that you know have needs, and those that you know have specific needs in their lives and hearts and souls and minds. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. I know it's a novice statement, and I know that young bucks, when they first start to preach, that's what they say. But I got to say it. Hallelujah. One of these days, there's not going to be any more sickness. There's not going to be any more sadness. There's not going to be any more anything, hallelujah, that sets us back. But we'll be renewed. You know, and I didn't bring this out, but I will right now. It's amazing how when those angels came and spoke to Abraham, he fed them. It's like one little girl, she asked her dad, she said, "So dad, in heaven, so we're just going to have big wings and sit on clouds and play harps and pet goats all day?" Because that's all she ever saw, big wings on angels and harps and Jesus petting a lamb. You know, be honest with you, I don't know how different we're going to be. I hope I look better. But that's up to Jesus. Amen. If I look the same, you're just going to have to deal with it for a long time. Praise God. But they ate with Abraham. I just got a feeling it's going to be this stuff about, like, if you just want to. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can. Amen. And so you want to be here today, or you want to be 5,000 miles away, you can instantly. Whatever. Hallelujah. Hey, if technology can do it, God can do it. Praise the Lord. Brother, I call you and say, "Fax me over, man. I want to see you." Heaven is just going to absolutely blow our minds. I've got a feeling when we get there, it's going to be like, "Wow, I didn't know it was going to be like this." And some of you young people are going to say, "This is cool." Praise God. Well, God bless you. Shake somebody's hand. Buy somebody a hamburger. Fellowship with somebody. Hey, greet our guests and visitors. Don't let them leave without knowing we're so glad to have them. Early for prayer.